at one time or another been caught up in a week like the last 2 weeks that I've had. Weeks of standing by the bed of somebody that you truly loved and not being really able to do anything about it. Not being able to do for the fact that your mother or your husband or your brother or your father is crying out in pain and saying, please, take it away, take it away. Can't you make it go away? And even though you try, you just don't know the answer to that. And if you're lucky, if you're really lucky, you know that if you pray really hard, that some kind of peace will come to you, at least to you. And maybe you can spread that to the people around you. And maybe somehow you can hold on to the hands of those people who are crying out in pain. My mother is really a remarkable person. She's 97 years old and lived with chronic pain for at least the last 10 years. In the last couple of months, my mother had kept saying to me, how long do I have to stay here? When can it be over? I'm really ready to go. Isn't it time to go? And I would keep saying to her, well, Mother, it's not up to us to decide. It's God who makes these decisions, and we just have to live the very best we can. She says, but I can't see anymore. I have terrible pain. I am not worth anything anymore. I really just want to go. Can't you just help me go? Well, if you're like me and you stood there, your biggest thought was, if I could have prayed my mother into heaven right that very moment, I would have done that. I would have prayed with my whole heart that she be released from this body and able to go to heaven. But it wasn't meant to be that way right at that time. And so we were in emergency rooms, and we were in intensive cares, and we were at their home, and we were gathering many people, and somehow time went on, so it just kind of came and went, and George and I were here and there, and really I actually didn't know what bed I was sleeping in after a while. I was in so many different places. But all the time I had this incredible sense of being surrounded by God's love. And when I started reading the scripture for this morning, there was only one passage, and really, you could probably tell us exactly what this means through the whole thing, but all I could hear and what I needed to hold on to was, when two or three of us are gathered together in your name, I will be there. So I had to know that no matter where I was, God was right there. Because one, my mother and I were two. And where we were, we knew that God was right there. She knew that. She knew that without a doubt. And she really was kind of irritated with how come this was all taking so long. You know, it was like, I'm ready. But then we got in a conversation about, well, Mother, you're going to have a five-generation picture on Sunday. Five-generation picture on Sunday. And they're coming from Colorado. Do you think we could just do that five-generation picture? Well, I have to tell you, my mother really struggled to be able to get up that morning and have someone dress her. But in the long run, she held that little baby in her arm, and the picture was taken. And in the picture, you could see great anguish on her face. She just couldn't let go of the pain, but she certainly wanted to hold on to that baby. And she wanted to have a sense of this beautiful day. Well, after they left, my mother said to me, I said to her, what are you doing? And she said, I'm traveling. I said, where are you traveling? So I'm traveling to Nebraska. She says, will you take me? I said, yes, I'll take you. Tomorrow, George and I leave to go to Nebraska to take my mother's ashes to her final resting place. in the town that she was born and raised, where her headstone has been set up for probably 30 years, she and my father. And all of this time, there's a sense of being held gently in the hands of God with two or three other people. I met with her pastor, and really there was just such a graciousness about this beautiful woman and all of the things that we were working out. Now, it's kind of a secret, but my sister and I really don't get along very well. And she has a totally different opinion about how things should be. And we had the memorial service planned with my granddaughter speaking and my sister speaking. And my sister was going to tell these really funny stories about my mother and her incredible fear of mice. And I thought this was good because this would show the human side of my mother. My sister from New York, she was like, no, no, no. The only person who can speak is you, and this is what I want you to say. And she sent me an obituary. And here I am, folks. You know I'm not going to get up and read what somebody else wrote. It just won't work. You know, so then we had to have conversations because the pastor at the Methodist Church, she had been contacted by my sister who said, only artists can speak. My father was not quite happy about that because my grandchildren spent a lot of time with my mother and were much closer to her at this point in her life than any of the rest of us because they lived nearby. The people who really should be speaking are her caregivers. Her caregivers who two or three of us were gathered together in Jesus' name over and over again, even though we come from a whole variety of different backgrounds. We've gathered together with a great sense of caring and trying to understand exactly what it is that my mother was going through and how we could make her feel more comfortable. How we could help her to be on her journey in a positive way. I think every single one of us worked together to say, here, let us help you on this journey. And when my mother passed away, her pastor was there, totally by accident. She just happened to show up. We know that wasn't really an accident, but she just was there. And my mother was holding the hand of a caregiver who really holds your hand and pets on you and kisses on you almost more than you can stand. But she was right there. Now, of course, how many are gathered at my father's house? One man, 98 years old. I said to him, Daddy, I'm worried about you. He said, why? I'm fine. I said, I'm worried that you'll just be sad. And really, he spoke to me in almost an angry tone of voice. He said, why should I be sad? Mother has just realized the dream that we always hoped for. She's gone to be with God in heaven. She's no longer suffering. She no longer has to live here without being able to see. She's happy. How could I possibly be sad? And I said, well, won't you be lonely? They've been married 77 years in the 15th of this month. They really never knew a time of not being together. Never knew that time. And he said, no. I think about her, and when I'm in the middle of watching a movie, I want to say to her, oh, remember when this happened? And then he'll say, oh, she's not there. As I said, I know that Rose, Ann, and Dee have all traveled this journey recently. And we all know that there have been times when the sadness seems to overtake you almost more than you can stand, and yet for many of us, being the caregiver or being the person who needs to be the strong one or who needs to be the person who plans absolutely every single thing and who needs to do things that are really hard and hurtful, we know how that feels. And yet I really believe that the closeness that you can have with God when you have this sense, two or three are gathered together. The message I have for the second service won't be the same. I needed to have it be this message, where I'm with those of you who have been on the same journey as me. And Joan, all of us gathered here in this room, we know we are here. I knew that when I came this morning, I would be here in the center of this church, knowing that God would be surrounding us, and I knew that you all would be here. You who grieve with me, you who rejoice with me, those of us who know how to be happy and how to be sad and how to share with one another. That's something that God asks of us. Be together. And then in Ezekiel, he tells us, take it out. Share it with the people. Share it with the second responders. First responders, right? You're the second responder. Share it with the first responders. Share it with your friends. Share it with everybody, this incredible sense of being together. It only takes two of us. And I just want to tell you, one of them is Jesus. So all by yourself, in your bed, in your yard, in your car, you can be assured that Jesus is gathered with you and God is present to lift your heart. And you and I know that the people we love are truly in heaven with God. And I really thank you for listening to me this morning, because I'm not going to be able to say the same thing about my mother or about how I feel when the real memorial service is. It will have to be formal, because sometimes we have to follow the wishes of our sisters or brothers just to keep peace in the family, right? Just to keep peace in the family. I think God asks that of us too. Be gentle and kind with one another, and do your very best to bring to them a sense of, regardless what they say or what they do, that Jesus lives within inside of you, and that you are able to wrap your arms and the arms of Christ around them, even when it may be a difficult situation. I'm always thankful to be here. Thank you.